Amazing what God's doing in Israel, but in your heart, there's that pieces of that story that I just didn't really have the full picture on, and how incredible that is. And I just feel like even through some of the songs this morning, I feel like the wall kicker's in the room. It's kicking down some walls today. We sang this. There's no wall you won't kick down. There's no lie you won't tear down. But you're coming after me. There's people who've lost properties, like the Zarzar family, Eva's family. There's people who've had injustices. And God says that His justice is coming. His justice is coming, first of all, for your heart, for our hearts. And then even in the natural, we'll see what God does. But I just feels like he's kicking down that wall. Like He had to kick down a wall for you. It's painful, but beautiful. And I just feel that in the room this morning. And what He's really been sharing with us about, we're going to tag team this morning. Mostly she's going to preach. I'm just going to lead in. And I told her I wouldn't be too long. But, you know, what the Lord has been sharing with us about, you know, if you've been here, is like God's speaking to a lot of people, right? Who feels like over the last month or two, this summer, God's spoken some pretty significant things in your heart? Just raise your hand if you feel like that. You see, it's like most of the people in the room. So we're like, okay, God, you spoke to me. Now, what do I do with that? How do I interpret it, apply it? But more importantly, and this is where we've been going in the past couple of weeks, is then how do I cultivate the soil of my heart, the parable of the sower, so that when the seed, the word, comes into the soil, then it can take root and grow. Because that's where it's all at, right? That's where it's all at. We don't want the seed to get choked out, squashed out, burned out. We want the seed to take root and grow, individuals, families, singles, and corporately, because that's how God is taking us somewhere. And a little acorn turns into a mighty oak tree.
Right.
And God has said He's established things in your life.
Yeah.
He's established them for a purpose in order that they might bear fruit. Did you know Jesus is interested in us bearing fruit? And so that's just kind of a lead in. And we're calling this morning from that scripture, take every thought captive. Take every thought captive. Because how many know the battleground is a lot the battleground of the mind. But the motion I've been leading us through is where we really receive from God and where we understand spiritual truths is the mind of our heart. So we were doing this thing where this is the master. This has a role, but it's the servant role, the brain, the mind, the analyzer, the figure it out.
Yeah.
So you want to do this together? Put your hand on your heart and say, master. And then put your hand on your mind and say, servant. One more time. Master, servant. It says this in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Paul instructed the church under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Battleground of the mind. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. We're not winning arguments. We're not out here to try to convince someone mentally. We're not fighting with those weapons. Paul said, I tried it, wouldn't recommend it. He came to Corinth with a demonstration of the Holy Spirit and what? And power. The issue is not here. If we have an issue, it's really an issue of the heart, right? That again, go back to Eva's testimony. On the contrary, these weapons of the Spirit, they have divine power to demolish strongholds.
Yeah.
This is what's going on. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take every thought, another translation, captive, to make it obedient to Christ. Who would really like to do that? Lord, every thought, yeah, every, that's a big statement. Every thought that enters here, every temptation, every accusation, every good and bad thought, we take that and we say, where is that in Christ? Where is that in Jesus? How is this lining up with, I have a future and a hope? Every thought is coming into alignment like that. And so God's just shared so much revelation with Sarah Ruth. I call her Sarah Ruth. Did y'all know that? Well, her mama calls her Sarah Ruth and her daddy, but when I married her, her name's Sarah Ruth, so you can call her Sarah, she'll answer. But what God shared, the deep word that he's done in her over the years, and like you were singing, you know, overcoming some things, is just dug some deep stuff that she wants to share. I wanted her to share, like, let's dive into this. And you're going to get some practical tools this morning. Like, okay, theoretical, spiritual, take every thought captive. Yeah, yeah, okay. Check, got it. You know, sometimes that's hard. Can somebody just tell me a little bit more? Like, what do I do in the outworking of this? Mm-hmm. That's where we're going here. So, Holy Spirit, we love you.
Yes.
We thank you, God, for all that you have done. And Sarah Ruth, Lord, all that you have worked incredibly in each one of us. And we ask you to take the word deeper.
Yeah.
You said that you're calling us out into deeper waters. God, we just choose. We're following you right now into the deep waters of your spirit. Mm-hmm. Just open our hearts to hear and understand this morning. Amen.
Amen.
So you're supposed to, you got one more part.
What am I sharing?
The Holy Spirit. The main part.
I've already messed up the joint message.
Go ahead. Right there.
How do we take our thoughts captive? We got to access the Holy Spirit. And in my scripture reading, my chronological Bible, I'm right at the end of the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels. And I get to this part where Jesus has risen from the dead. And he appears to his disciples the third time. Do y'all remember that? And one of the things I love about the chronological reading of the scripture is I saw something there. The Holy Spirit showed me something that I hadn't seen before. And that was that in John 20 and in Luke 24, it says on Sunday evening, I think in John, he shows up and he's right there. And they're like, whoa, it's a ghost. He's like, hey, don't be afraid, guys. Peace I bring to you. Are you tracking? You know where I'm at in the scripture. Peace I leave with you. And then they're having this whole interaction with this glorified body Jesus that the two guys on the road to Emmaus didn't even recognize that it was Jesus. So maybe that's why these 12 or 11 now are scared to death. Like, what is this? This guy died. Okay, yeah, we've heard he was resurrected. But he's standing there. And one of the things that he does with them and says to them is he breathed on them in John 20 and he said, receive the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
In the parallel passage in Luke 24, he doesn't mention he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But in the same setting, what Luke records that he saw as important was he opened their minds. He opened their minds to understand the scripture.
Yeah.
And it dawned on me, how do I understand the scripture? By being breathed upon by the Holy Spirit.
By the Holy Spirit.
I realized that these parallel passages put pieces like pieces of a puzzle together where suddenly Jesus is standing among them and he breathed on them, received the Holy Spirit, and it's like, the Greek word is the dianoia, the mind of their heart. Suddenly it's open where they, oh, have you ever had a light bulb moment? Oh, I get it. I get it now. Everything he told us, this is how it's playing out. And so I believe then if we have the mind of Christ, we want to know how do we take every thought captive. This is primary.
Yeah.
This is number one. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Breathe on me now.
Breathe on me now.
Fill me, Holy Spirit.
Fill me, Holy Spirit.
And open the mind of my heart.
Open the mind of my heart.
To receive.
Yeah. Isn't that good? That I wanted him to share that because I love this whole topic of victory, really. Walk in the victorious life in our thoughts. Because I've had the battle myself. I mean, who hasn't? You know? But what I want to encourage you today and what Matthew was sharing is this, I realize, is primary, is being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So while I'm speaking, just really ask the Lord, Lord, and even, let me just tell you this, it's not a one-time thing. We need to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, because this is not something we can do by our own strength. Right? It really is by the Holy Spirit. It's learning how to walk by the Holy Spirit. And it's something that I've realized more and more is something that I want, that I caught, that the Lord taught me, that He, that I caught in church and by my parents, and is knowing the value of the Holy Spirit in my lives, but it's what I want to pass to the next generations coming up. Mental health is at an all-time high of like, Lord, help. Yeah. Right? It's real. And I was talking to a friend this week, and I was talking to her about a struggle of some people I knew that were really struggling mentally. And she's actually a doctor. But you know what? And I was actually talking to her about certain medications, you know, because I was like, well, scary medications, you know. But the thing is, I'm not against medication, okay? Just want you to know that. But I do believe that God can do a lot of things, and there are ways, things, and tools that you can have before that, too, right? But I was just talking to her, and she's a doctor, and I was saying, what do you think about this, and what do you think about that? And she goes, well, let me ask you, are they filled with the Holy Spirit? And I was like, amen. I forgot, but yes, you're right. Are they filled with the Holy Spirit? She was like, because the truth of the matter is, I have seen, and this girl, she's a doctor, but she's my best, one of my best friends, and she walked through losing her husband through murder in 2009. And we walked through that together, and it was one of the hardest things. But what I learned was what God did in us before that happened. Yeah. In 2006, the Holy Spirit poured out in such a mighty, powerful way. What did we learn in that time that we didn't know we were going to need, like life or death? And that was how to get in the presence of the Lord and access the Holy Spirit. And like, so when in 2009, when her husband was murdered, and we really were a group of friends walking through hell, we learned where to run, and it was to the source. We were still having Wednesday night breakthrough meetings. And so we would come in the side door because she had gone through a lot of trauma. She was actually there. So there was a lot of trauma. We would come in the side door and we would immediately go to the front and do what we had been doing since 2006 when the Holy Spirit poured out, and that was get on the floor. And we would get on the floor while the worship played, and we would just, you know, she would be in the middle of me and one of our other friends, and we would just get in the presence of the Lord. And let me tell you, it was life to us. She would carry around her Bible. But did she start reading her Bible when this happened? No. She had been reading her Bible. She had been knowing that place with the Holy Spirit. And she was saying to me, is this person filled with the Holy Spirit? And I was like, oh, yeah. She was like, because the thing is I have known what it is to access peace and joy in the middle of when your body, your mind is not feeling that. And it's by the Holy Spirit. So I am saying to you, if you do not know if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, let us pray for you. Because it is the greatest gift God has given to us. It is the promise of the Father. And one of the things I feel recently is the Lord calling us to come away with Jesus, to come away with Him, and to learn how to access heaven. I have personally been trying to practice. It's one of those things you practice. I've learned. It's like, this isn't just something that just happens. You practice. You train your mind. Yeah. You train your heart. Yeah. You train your mind. No, wait, hold on. What is the scripture says? Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things. So this is in Philippians 4. I want to go ahead and go to that. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In other words, take those things that are good and just consume them as much as possible. You know, that thing that I told some of you guys earlier is the thing of, you know, I did walk out of a place of learning that this is not a list of rules. Following God is not a list of rules. It's a relationship. Okay. But I've also learned that the things that I may have done growing up because I wanted to do the right thing and not get in trouble, you know, or what I would have done with what you may have called religion at one point, because I didn't really have that access, that knowing yet quite of, so I was maybe doing the right things. Now I do for love. Okay. So it's not that we throw out the disciplines, right? I mean, those that are athletes know that it's important to go in the gym and lift your weights and build your muscles and do those things. Well, there are disciplines in our lives. There are training that we do. We're training our hearts. We're training our minds. Yes. If we don't consume the Word of God, we won't know when we hear from the Lord words that He's speaking. We won't know. It's like we won't know if that's God or not, because we haven't. What you do when you're reading the Word, when you're spending time with God, you're expanding your capacity to receive from Him. You're just making that place with you and Him. You are digging a well that only you can dig with you and Him. Okay? Because when you're in those hard places, when you're in those places where it's like painful and you're experiencing every emotion on the planet, you can't depend on somebody else's well. You have to dig your own well between you and Jesus, so that when the rubber meets the road, when you feel broken, it's not something you're going to do in your own strength, but that's where you're going to run is, Lord, I can't do this. I'm weak, but I know that I know that I know that you're strong. Yes. And I know that this is what the Word says. The Word says that your grace is sufficient for me, that your strength is made perfect in my weakness. So I'm running to the source. Because let me tell you this. This is so true. When you're trying to fix the outside things that you see going wrong in your life, it won't work if you're not connected to the source. It will not work unless you allow Him to come and do inside of you. What He does is He comes by His Spirit and He unlocks your heart. That's that freedom. He unlocks your mouth. He gives you truth. And then therefore what happens is you start to, this creativity starts to come forth. Now we think creativity, we're just thinking like what we have in our mind of being a painter or things like that. And that is creativity. But what I'm talking about is who you have been created in Christ. You are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, and you are created in the image of God. So therefore, you are creative. And that can be a good thing, and that can be for not the good thing. That can be for life, or that can be for death in your life. Okay, so this is where the key of your thoughts matter. Okay, because what happens is we have these thoughts, and if you entertain them long enough, it creates feelings, which then create actions. Okay, and then all of a sudden you're living in this world. You're like, I don't like this. I do not like this. I don't like all this negativity going on around me. I don't like that every relationship I'm running into seems to be hitting a wall. I'm complaining constantly. I am like, these people are getting on my last nerve all the time. Stop for a minute and think, okay, Lord, what I need is my mind renewed. You need a renewed mind. And so that is the power of your thoughts. Is that we're created in God's image and we're creative and our thoughts matter. And what you think create feelings, which create actions. This is important. This is if you want to grab this, it has been a key in my life. It's been something that in my own life, I've realized the power of this. And it's hope. It gives me hope. It gives me a whole lot of peace to realize I'm not powerless. That's the lie, is that you would think that, oh, I just am constantly bombarded. That you are just at the mercy of your thoughts. You're not. In other words, you have the Holy Spirit living and breathing inside of you, and He has given you power.
Yes.
He's given you power, and He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And this is a gift. This is the inheritance of the Holy Spirit. I was also reading in Colossians right after it says, you know, and he's saying, oh, I've seen that you have the love for each other that has been given to you by the Holy Spirit. That's so cool. There's another gift. You know, He gives us love for each other. So if you're feeling like I don't feel love for these people around me, okay, this is hard. You know what? You can do hard things through Christ who strengthens you. So what we need first is, that's why I'm telling you, one of the keys is get alone with Jesus. Make it a priority in your life. If the Lord's coming to you and saying, put away this, put away that, turn off this, come away with me, then I'm going to tell you it will be one of the most profitable things you do in your life. Because what happens is when we learn how to soak, is what I call it, soak in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to give you some keys of some things that are real brain science things, which is really cool. I have some doctors that I follow because I love this. It's a Christian brain. He's a psychiatrist, but he also studies the brain. I mean, like, studies the brain. And he talks about, his name's Dr. Amen, if you want to look him up. Pretty cool. Anyways, he talks about how, you know, total brain fade. Speaking of the brain and our thoughts and how we can take our thoughts captive, but also how, when we get in panic attacks, anybody have a panic attack? Lord have mercy, don't care to ever have one ever again, right? And the thing about panic attacks is it makes you feel a lot of fear, and then a lot of times you are afraid of the possibility of it, right? You feel powerless, right? But what I love is how God has given us power. And one of the things he talks about is like that with the take every thought captive. It's like we need more anteaters because our thoughts are like ants, and we need more anteaters. In other words, where we say, we take that thought and we say, is this true? Is this lovely? Is this a good report? If it's not, I'm chucking it. And I'm not going to stay and meditate on this thought. You know, but one of the things I do when I'm soaking in the presence of the Lord, this is just another thing, is learn how to breathe deeply.
Come on.
Okay. Yes. Breathing matters. And breathing in the Lord, and it's amazing that He says, I would breathe upon you. Yeah. Because it's like, we need to receive. I practice, this is just a little practical thing, okay? And y'all need it. We all need it. You need to learn how to take deep breaths. It helps your brain. He actually says it can literally stop a panic attack.
Yes.
Is learning how to do diaphragm breathing. So that is your breathe in 4 counts. Let it come out. Hold it 2, 1, 2. Then breathe out 8. One more time. Breathe in. Hold it. Breathe out. And this is another. Practice this when you're not in the middle of a panic attack. Okay? You need to practice that before.
Yeah.
But I love to. So what I do is now I am training myself to soak in the presence of the Lord, to breathe deep, and to access heavenly realm. Okay? Access the heavenly realm. Because what I want is I want my thoughts to be bathed and renewed in who He says. I want His thoughts about my family. I want His thoughts about my marriage. I want His thoughts about my work situation. I want His thoughts. You understand? Because what happens is with the creation thing, all right? What you're thinking is going to create feelings, which is going to create actions, which then therefore you're going to be living a reality. So if you don't like what's going on in your life, say, Lord, come baptize me. Come renew my heart. Come renew my mind. Let me tell you this. If you are walking in a poverty mentality, money won't fix it. It won't fix it. Because you will still be walking in that place of lack, of the fear of lack, of the shame. These things are lies. Fear, guilt, insecurity, shame. These things are the things that create that. Because what will happen is, it doesn't matter if you get a bunch of money, you'll be spending it on stupid stuff.
That's right.
You know, you'll just be spending money on things because it'll be like the fear of not having enough.
Yeah.
I mean, because there are times where I'm like, we're fine. But yet I still have this thing inside of me that's scared that I'm not going to have enough. Mm. I'm like, Lord, come after that.
Yes, that's good.
Because then what will happen is I'll be like, oh, we're going to have clothes. And I'm going right about now. Okay, well, great. Did you have money to go shopping for them clothes at the moment? But you understand what I'm saying? Or you'll go buy something in the middle of the night that you didn't need. Because you're afraid that you might not have enough. But what happens is, if you'll allow the Lord to remind you, I have everything I need in Jesus. You know, there's that song, I have everything I need.
Yeah.
We have everything I need.
Bless me,
bless me, bless me, bless me, out of me. Death has been defeated. You are my victory. Bless me, bless me, God, not just for me, but so everyone around me will have everything they need. That is a prosperous soul and heart and view.
Yeah.
It's, Lord, come remind me. I want to give you any fear of lack. I want to give you any shame, any insecurities, any fears. I want to give that to you. That is not my inheritance. My inheritance in Christ. My inheritance in Christ is I have everything I need. The truth of the matter is, He will supply all my needs according to His riches in glory.
That's
And he will give his angels charge over us. I mean, those are just good promises that we want to wash our minds and our hearts with, cling to those things. Okay, when it says that, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, there's another version that says, fix your heart on the things that are true. Fix your heart on the things that are noble, the things that are lovely, that are of good report. And so this one other thing I want to, other key I want to give you is called, is what I would say, stay in the river of grace and stay outside of the place of judgment. This was something I learned in my season of learning about taking every thought captive, about staying outside of anxiety, was I realized that I would let myself be critical. You know, and I have become, you can ask my husband, I have become someone who really doesn't want to have anything to do with being critical. Because I've learned the power of the peace of God that rules and reigns in my heart and mind. So I can be maybe kind of, you know, like, okay, let's change the subject. Let's change the subject. We ain't got nothing good to say about these people. Let's just change the subject. You know, because I cannot afford to allow a critical spirit or judgmental thoughts to, I can't entertain them. I can't stay there. Because what happens, I've learned, is that when you're in that river of grace, there really is a protection of your heart and your mind. When you step outside of that, into that place of judgment, you have given the enemy access. You give him places, hooks in your life where he can pull.
Come on.
And so it's not worth it. It's not worth it. When the Lord comes and he is after forgiveness and grace in your life, it's a powerful thing.
Yes.
Forgiveness, like forgive them for they know not what they do. Forgive them for they know not what they do. Forgive them. How many times? Over and over and over. Because it takes you outside the place. Get this key. Get it. Because let me tell you, you don't want to, if I can give you something that I have walked through, I want to give this one thing to you, is get outside of a place of judgment. Stay in a place of grace and forgiveness.
Yeah, mercy.
And if you don't believe me, it doesn't mean I'm tempted and I don't have a lot of it, that I have to guard my heart and guard those places. But when I recognize it, I quickly repent. Lord, forgive me. Who do I need to forgive? What do I need to, okay, this attitude, this is not right. There's some thoughts here that aren't right. So Lord, get me back in that place of realizing the grace and forgiveness I've received. So therefore, I want to give grace and forgiveness to others. And that is a joyous river to be in. It's a river of grace. It's a river of forgiveness. It brings all of heaven there with you. And so if you are in a place where you are experiencing panic, fear, just what feels like torment in your mind, the absolute opposite of peace, then just say, Lord, forgive me. If I've gotten in a place of judgment, maybe I don't even know where it is that I have gotten into a place of judgment. Lord, forgive me. I get back in the place of grace. Because I realize, Lord, I need your grace.
Yes.
This is not something I can do on my own.
And that those early morning hours when you're waking up, I was alluding to this last week, where you wake up, it's like money, fear, or something somebody said, or I'm not going to be ready for that exam. Oh gosh, when is that paper due, or that deadline at work? Those thoughts are not from God.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the source? It's something else, but it ain't God.
Mm-hmm.
This is very practical.
Mm-hmm.
Take every thought captive, then. You need to recognize that, and that's where she, because then if you go along with those thoughts, I know this by experience, then those thoughts can produce physical reactions in your body. That's where panic attacks and anxiety and all that comes from. It begins there. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I know there's other chemical causes and all that, but I'm saying it begins to produce a reaction in our physical body because we disagree with the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
We entertain these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Lord, help us.
Yeah.
Cast it out, Lord.
Yeah.
Every thought.
Yeah.
I surrender it. And then not only that, as the Holy Spirit comes, you begin to think the thoughts of Christ.
Yeah.
Think about that. It says you have the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If you literally have the mind of Christ, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane contemplating that he's got to go to torture and execution.
Mm-hmm.
And he can deal with that in a way where the peace of God says, and it said that angels came and ministered to him.
Mm-hmm.
You see, like attracts like in the spirit realm. So when we choose the mind of Christ, even the angelic realm of heaven begins to open up to us and we begin to access those places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, what I want to impart to you guys is that we really want to walk in that place of our true selves. Okay. That's our true self is the one that's created in the image of God. Okay. And what our old self, you know, that is not the truth, okay? That's the resentful, bitter, feeling lack, shame, fear, all those things, okay? That you can just say, okay, this is not me. This is not the real me, okay? But the real me is that that's been created in God's image. And that's the one that's like, okay, I've got everything I need. By your grace, in the love of God, setting my minds on things above, you know, and then saying, okay, Lord, what are you saying? Like hearing those words from the Lord, that's where we can go to that place is, Lord, what is your word to me right now? And I'm going to cling to that truth right now. And I'm going to declare that.
Yeah.
And so one of the other keys of kind of one of the things we love to do, because you create pathways in your brain that are like your default pathways. You understand what I'm saying? So the more you set your heart, you set your mind on what's true, lovely, good report. You know, one of the things is, I mean, and I'm not saying this for everybody, but it'll be different for different people. Okay. But for me is I don't like anything intense on watching the TV. I mean, that's just me. And I just know me and my husband loves me and he guards that with me. Like, if there's anything that comes on a commercial that looks scary, I'm over here la, 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 because I don't want to hear it or see it. Okay? Because my deal is I have big enough imagination. I don't need you feeding it. I do not need to be walking down some road scared about something behind me because I watched some stupid movie. I've got enough of imagination. No, thank you. You know, so you know what you need to guard in your heart and in your mind and not put on the TV screen of your heart and your mind. Okay? So, you know, so I just la-la. But the other things, and my girls, it's so cute. I love it because my girls do it too because I'm pretty protective. I'm protective of my boys too, but my girls, you know, there's just things that the enemy wants to torment girls with and make them afraid of just living, you know? And so I'm always like, girls, la, 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 la. And so I'll hear them in the other room sometimes if they're watching TV and this commercial comes on and I'll hear them going, la, 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 la. I'm thinking, yay, good. Okay. Praise the Lord. But anyways, so what I was talking about, you create pathways, default measures in your heart and in your mind. So one of the things, one of the practices I love to do is in the morning, I love to wake up and say, it's going to be a great day.
Amen.
It's going to be a great day. Because what I've learned from that brain doctor is that you're actually, thank you, Gabe. Gabe's, just in case y'all were wondering if I was going to go too long, Gabe will keep me straight right there. It's back there. So we are wrapping it up. So this is the thing I want to give you, though, is that what happens when you wake up and you have that kind of like, it's going to be a great day. What you're doing is you're training your brain to look for how is it going to be a great day. Isn't that good? You start to look for how's it going to be a great day. Okay, instead of training your brain to look for all the things that are wrong, you know, all the things that aren't happening. And then at night, before you go to bed, it's a great thing if that's a good time for you to read a scripture or things like that. But one of the things we're doing now is we're saying, hey, what went well today? You know, what? Something. Maybe if it was just, you know, I was breathing.
Yeah.
I was taking a deep breath, you know. Or, you know, I mean, because one of the things we'll do with our kids at the dinner table is, hey, what's your favorite part of the day? You know, I've heard people say, you know, you do your highs and your lows. Some people do your lows, and that's fine. And I want my kids to talk to me about their hard places too. But I want them to say, hey, you know, even if you have to dig for it, go treasure hunting. Go treasure hunting for the goodness of God in your life. Go treasure hunting in your marriage. Go treasure hunting in your family. Go treasure hunting at work and say, Lord, what are you doing? Because you are moving. You are doing things around me. And I want to see what you are doing and keep my mind and heart fastened on what you are doing and not focus and meditate and ruminate on the things that you're not doing.
Amen.
So this is y'all stand. I'm going to read this scripture. This is our prayer and our declaration over all of you. And I will say this, if you are here today and you don't know if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, we would love to pray for you afterwards. Because it's so important that you be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then what I want to encourage you is to go home and start practicing the presence.
Yeah.
Practice sitting quiet.
Mm-hmm.
That can be scary in this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
Quiet. But practice sitting with the Holy Spirit and getting to know Him. Say, Holy Spirit, speak. What are you saying? But this is Colossians 1, 11 through 14. I'm just going to read this over you as this is our prayer for us. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all His glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people, who live in the light. For He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. So, Lord, we thank You for the inheritance we have in You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You have given us everything we need. Lord, that everything we need to walk in You has been given to us. We lack no good thing. Lord, You are a Father who gives good gifts. Lord, so we receive all that You have for us this morning. Lord, we ask You to baptize us afresh in Your Holy Spirit. Lord, that You would come away, that we would come away with You, Lord, and that You would renew our hearts, renew our minds, Lord. Let Your truth of who You are ring out loudest in our hearts and minds.
Yeah.
And Lord, I pray for every person in here that may feel a torment from lies, that You would silence the lies of the enemy right now in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus, and we thank You for Your freedom that is in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It's going to be a good week. Students, it's going to be a good week.
Yeah.
Stay at home moms or dad, it's going to be a good week.
Yeah.
Those going to the office, it's going to be a good week.
Yeah.
Running a business, it's going to be a good week.
Yeah.
Now, Lord, how is it going to be a good week?
Yeah.
You know, can you trust Him? Can you trust him?
Yes.
If you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, I want Michael. Michael, can you pray for people? Maybe Bailey can help him. They've been going after that on campus recently. Those are good people. And we just will pray for your minds.
Yeah.
Lord, let the mind of Christ, just as a representation, just put your hand there. Lord, let the mind of Christ be in us. We let it. It says let it. So, Lord, I let it, the mind of Christ, the very thoughts that Jesus had from his Father, from heaven. Lord, I let it be in my mind and heart today and this week. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We love you. Be blessed. Have a great day. Labor Day. Yay. Hey, you don't have to go to the office tomorrow or whatever. So be blessed. Have fun.